Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
A startling trend in the Carolinas. Thieves going after gun stores and pawn shops, sometimes taking desperate measures.
Dozens of missing weapons stolen out of a gun store in the middle of the night.
Breaking into a gun store in Montgomery County, they got away with more than 30 guns.
Well, a gun shop in West Houston ripped off by crooks.
And they were in and out with armfuls of firearms in just over a minute.
Across the country, thieves are increasingly targeting gun stores, taking advantage of lax security and loose regulations. The numbers tell the story. In 2012, there were 377 gun store burglaries. In 2017, 577. Brian Frescos is a reporter at The Trace. He followed the trail of gun thieves and their stolen weapons for a new article in partnership with The New Yorker. Brian, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So first, tell us about the subject of your reporting, this character, Cruz Scott. Who is he, and why did you frame your reporting around his story?
Cruz was a burglar who, along with two accomplices, broke into several gun stores in eastern North Carolina in late 2014. They stole more than 200 guns collectively in those break-ins, and then they trafficked most of them up to New Jersey, where they sold them to a cousin of Scott's. And from there, they went all over the country. His story really hit on a few issues, but one of the biggest ones is that gun stores in most of the country aren't required to adopt any security measures of any kind. And thieves have really taken notice to this. And Cruz told me in the interviews that I conducted with him in prison that they would choose stores that they saw as having lax security measures, and that it was so easy for them to break in and steal guns that they could do it and be in and out in less than a minute in most cases.
And the kind of stores that we're talking about, because there are a lot of different types of gun stores, is it, you know, the big stores like Walmart or the big sporting chains, or the mom and pop gun stores?
It's more the mom and pop gun stores. The big chains tend to have a lot of security measures, not only to protect their guns, but just to protect their inventory in general. They sell a lot of different things. But these mom and pop stores are typically the ones that we're talking about. They're not required to have any security measures of any kind. A lot of them do. They will have, you know, alarms or security cameras or something like that. But a lot of times they leave their guns out in the display cases overnight. And so what thieves like Scott are able to do is break through the door, saw through the roof, jump down, and then smash these gun cases, rake the guns into a bag, and run out.
Now, you're writing about Scott's story in the context of this national rise in burglaries from gun stores. What did your reporting find in terms of that increase?
Since 2012, gun store thefts in general have increased. So there were nearly 9,500 guns stolen from dealers in 2017. That's up 63% from 2012. And more than 83% of those were stolen in burglaries. So to kind of get into the weeds a little bit, the ATF breaks down the numbers. There are burglaries which account for the highest number of thefts. And if you look at the number of guns stolen in burglaries between 2012 and 2017, it was more than 32,000 guns. But if you add in larcenies like shoplifting, someone just walking out with a gun during business hours, or armed robberies, there are actually cases where people come in and hold up a gun store just like they would a gas station. Those are kind of rare, but they do happen. If you throw all those in, then you're talking about more than 40,000 guns over that six-year period. And those are just the ones that we know about. There are some that aren't reported, even though they're required to by law. And there are also, you know, thousands and thousands of reported losses from gun stores every year. And we don't know how many of those are actually thefts or how many of those are guns that they, you know, legitimately sold and just didn't write down, just didn't record, or if they were spirited out the back door by an employee or what have you.
After a robbery takes place, like if a pharmacy gets robbed, they have to file a report and tell the DEA about stolen controlled substances. If a gun store gets robbed, do they have to do something similar?
They do. They have to report the theft within 48 hours. But what sets gun stores apart from pharmacies and other industries is that pharmacies are required to lock up all of their controlled substances in what they call cabinets of substantial construction. So usually those are steel. They can be vaults depending on the neighborhood if there's a lot of crime in the neighborhood. And banks, too, have to install lighting systems, vaults, have to hire security officers. So it's really only gun stores that we found that they're not required to adopt any security measures in most places. There are four states that do require security measures of some type.
So what happens? Where do these stolen guns end up? You write about something called the Iron Pipeline.
That was the other issue that Cruz Scott's story hit on. The Iron Pipeline refers to this trafficking corridor between the South and the Northeast. So in the South, where gun laws tend to be weaker, guns tend to sell for less on the street. They tend to be around, you know, you can get a gun for $200 or $300 or even less. I've seen reports of $50 on the street. Whereas if you go up to New Jersey, for example, the gun laws tend to be a lot stronger. It's harder to get guns locally. And so a lot of the guns are trafficked in from outside. And because of that, there's a higher cost involved. And so there's a higher cost on the street. So a gun that might sell for $200 in North Carolina will sell for more than $1,000 in New Jersey. And Cruz Scott, he knew this, and he had a family member up there who was willing to take the guns off his hand and pay him in cash for him. And so a lot of the guns they stole, they drove up there, they met Scott's cousin in a hotel room outside of Camden, and they just handed him a duffel bag full of guns in exchange for cash. And from there, the guns went all over the place. We connected them to nearly 70 crimes in five states. That includes North Carolina, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and one even went as far away as Nevada, Las Vegas.
Brian Frescos is a reporter at The Trace. You can find his article, Why Thieves Target Gun Stores, in The New Yorker. Brian, thank you.
Thank you.